Welcome to our Bible study on Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. As always, I am assuming you have read the passage, that you have your Bible open before you, and that you understand our translations may not agree. I also want to invite you to our in-person study on Wednesdays at 5:15. We finish at 6 p.m. at the church in the fellowship hall. Please remember, at this time, we are wearing masks. First, I would like to share some general comments and some background, because we're going to be looking at Ephesians next week, too. Ephesians has traditionally been regarded as written by Paul from a prison in Rome. Some of your Bibles may even have Ephesians titled as the Letter of Paul to the Ephesians. But titles like this and other New Testament documents were added later by the early church and were not part of the original documents. The early church was more interested in documents that represented the true faith, that is, trustworthy guides to how God was and is working in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, than they were about presenting accurate historical information. The Bible is always more interested in faith, how God is working in the world and in the lives of people, than in history or science. Most scholars believe that this letter was not addressed specifically to the church at Ephesus, but was a general letter meant to circulate throughout the area. They point out that, 1, the author appears to be unknown to the readers. If we look at chapter 1, verse 15, and chapter 3, verses 2 through 4. But Paul did extensive work in Ephesus. Look at Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 22. Number 2, the letter contains no personal details about the writer or the readers. That's very unusual for Paul. Number 3, there are no personal greetings. Contrast that to the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 5 through 18, with the end of Ephesians at chapter 6, verse 21 through 24. And number 4, and perhaps most telling, the word in Ephesus at 1:1 are missing from key ancient manuscripts. While there are a few scholars who continue to believe that Ephesians was written by Paul from a prison in Rome, if so, the date would be the early 60s, most scholars believe that this letter was not written by Paul personally, but by one of his associates after Paul's death. Some of the evidence includes, 1, vocabulary and style. The vocabulary and style of Ephesians differ markedly from those of the undisputed letters of Paul. You can check that out in lengthy and somewhat tedious and technical commentaries for more specific examples. You can see the differences, though, even in English, between Ephesians and Philippians, which according to tradition, would have been written at about the same time. And number 2, theological differences. There are numerous differences in theology from the unquestioned letters of Paul. For example, Paul believed that Jesus would be returning soon, an idea that is totally absent in Ephesians and is replaced by an emphasis on the present experience of Christian faith. Paul often lifts up the believer's identification with the crucified Jesus and the future fulfillment of God's saving act at the resurrection. But in Ephesians, the emphasis is on the present status of believers as already risen and seated with Christ in the heavenly places. The point is not that Paul's theology is valid and the theology of Ephesians is not, but that they are different, that Ephesians seems to represent a reinterpretation of Paul's message for a later time. A third point would be the relation of Ephesians to Colossians, which will be discussed in just a moment. So, is it real if Paul did not write it? And yes, our culture today is much different than the culture of biblical times. Today, when we think of documents not written by the supposed author, we might think about a forged check or plagiarized term papers. But that is not the case for the Bible. Within the biblical tradition of the ancient world, it had for centuries been common and accepted practice to write in the name of a revered figure of the past, and to attribute collections of such material to an ancient author. In the Old Testament, for example, Moses is considered the supreme lawgiver due to the Ten Commandments and, of course, the book of Leviticus, and he is credited with writing the first five books of the Bible, including the account of his own death in Deuteronomy chapter 34. Another example is the Psalms as a whole being attributed to David. Although clearly he did write many of them, you can see that in Psalm 132, 137, and the title to Psalm 90, he did not write all of them. And the book of Isaiah is another example. It covers a much longer time frame than Isaiah's lifespan. The issue is not, is it a forgery or is it authentic, but rather, does the document continue to express the faith? For example, of the 22 letters in the New Testament, if we consider Revelation to be a letter, only 8 are undisputed as to their authorship: Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Philippians, 1 Thessalonians, Philemon, and Revelation. Some of the others may or may not have been written by their supposed authors, but in no case should we perceive the issue as whether or not the Bible contains forgeries. Now I would like to compare Ephesians and Colossians. Ephesians resembles Colossians in overall structure and in verbal parallels. For example, between one-third and one-half of the 155 verses in Ephesians are parallel to Colossians, both in order and content. And for those who are able to come to the in-person Bible study, I will have a handout, a table, outlining 22 topics held in common in Ephesians and Colossians. Both Ephesians and Colossians are written in a florid style, but Ephesians is more expansive and hyperbolic, almost 50 uses of the word all and piled up with adjectives. There are some differences between the two. Ephesians is longer and has some material that is lacking in Colossians. For example, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, and chapter 4, verses 1 through 14, have no parallel in Colossians. Likewise, there is some material in Colossians that is missing in Ephesians. For example, the attack on the false philosophy in Colossians chapter 2, and the long set of greetings in Colossians chapter 4 are missing in Ephesians. Again, for those who are able to come to the in-person Bible study, I will have a handout that outlines our passage of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20, and compares it to Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, and also chapter 4, verse 5. Let's look at these verses. Chapter 5, 15. Be careful then how you live. The verse is a warning against laxity and moral conduct and a reminder that practical wisdom informs our behavior so that our behavior is consistent with our faith. This section is closely related to Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, and also chapter 4, verse 5. However, in Colossians, the believer's behavior is related to its impression on outsiders. Here, the focus is more on internal relationships, especially the worship of the community. At chapter 5, verse 16, making the most of the time because the days are evil. In other words, make the most of the opportunities presented to us. The word because can almost mean despite the fact that the days are evil. We do not excuse ourselves or acquiesce to lower standards, but to be all the more earnest in presenting the Christian ideal. Don't let culture influence us or change us or corrupt us, but use our opportunities to influence the culture. At chapter 5, verse 17, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. This is meant in a very broad sense, not just in church or in our quiet devotion time, but out in the world, at work, at home, shopping, and in regular daily conversations, remembering that we are making the most of the time, verse 16. No occasion is too insignificant. At verse 18, we got the words wine and spirit. This is meant more than just a bumper sticker for the Temperance League. Remember, in Acts chapter 2, verse 13, on the day of Pentecost, the crowd thought the new disciples were filled with new wine and did not understand that they were instead filled with the Spirit. The contrast is intentional. One cannot be drunk and also be filled with the Spirit at the same time. At chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, we see that spiritual fullness comes to expression in joyful fellowship, in singing, and in always giving thanks. It's not about being a Pollyanna or ignoring the pain and heartache of adversity and tribulation, but in remembering that we are not defined by our circumstances or our situation. We are defined by the grace of God given to us in Jesus Christ. In conclusion, praise and thanksgiving typifies the Christian outlook because of what God has done for us. We are also reminded that we are called to make sure our behavior properly reflects our relationship with God. Such an attitude is not only a word to the wise, but also a blessing to God. Thank you for listening. Take care and God bless.